This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good afternoon. Wheat harvest is in full swing and has gone well for one first-generation farm. Winter wheat harvest continues to progress northward in the state at a rapid clip. Harvest was 83% complete as of July 2nd, well ahead of the average pace of 67% by that date the previous 5 years. Brothers Derek and Garrett Stewart, who farm near Eureka in Woodford County, said dry weather was key to a timely harvest this year. They completed wheat harvest last week. "It went pretty good," Derek said. "We had no rain for a couple of days and a lot of heat, which really helped with winter wheat harvest. It dried everything down." Derek, a Woodford County Farm Bureau young leader, reported wheat moisture at harvest between 13 and 17%. "We harvested two fields. One was planted about a week and a half later than the other," Derek noted, "but we were able to go right from one to the next. We think the heat kind of sped everything up." The Stewart boys frost-seeded red clover on the wheat, which now should hit a growth spurt. "That should put a nice, lush green blanket on the wheat stubble," Derek said. "We'll use that clover cover crop to provide part of the nitrogen for next year's corn crop." The innovative first-generation young farmers who grow conventional and organic row crops enjoy conducting field trials to learn valuable information about their crops and fields. They ran nitrogen rate trials on their winter wheat fields this year. "People who grew up on a farm have dad or grandpa to ask questions," Derek said. "We are more free to try new ideas, but we do have a handful of other farmers that we look for advice and monitoring." The boys grew up in nearby Eureka and had relatives who farmed, but they didn't grow up on a farm. They started by working for other farmers to learn more about production ag. Derek's wife, Erin, and Garrett's wife, Danielle, also are involved in the operation. "I've always been around farming and had a passion for it," Derek noted. "We just kept working on building a farm." The Stewart brothers now have a number of years under their belts and feel good about the direction of the industry. "We feel really blessed to farm," Derek said. "It's been a huge challenge starting from scratch." The Stewarts also joined Young Leaders to grow their farming network. "I got involved in Young Leaders as an opportunity to meet other young farmers," Derek added. "We've made some good connections." In national news today, more tariffs have officially gone into effect between China and the U.S. worth $34 billion, and Farmers for Free Trade says it's hitting producers directly in the pocketbook. Brian Kuhl is the group's executive director, and he says the evidence of pain from a now multi-front trade war is multiplying every day. From China canceling soybean orders to cheese exports to Mexico plummeting to farm equipment prices rising, the stories of financial loss are now rolling in from across America. Today's actions will only create more nightmare stories of farmers' livelihoods being squeezed. One of those farmers is Brent Bible, a soybean and corn farmer from Indiana, who says these actions are a direct financial hit. "This is money out of my pocket," Bible says, "and these tariffs could mean the difference between a profit and a loss for an entire year's worth of work out in the field. That's only in the near term. Over the long haul, producers are deeply concerned that China will continue to replace American soy with that of other competitors." Bible adds that these losses shouldn't be made up by government programs, saying that frustration is growing quickly in the heartland, and we need this solved now. U.S. corn exports reached an all-time high of 7.7 million tons in the month of April. Through May, year-to-date corn shipments were estimated at 29 million metric tons. USDA projections for exports in the 2017-2018 crop marketing year were raised to 58.4 million metric tons. The previous monthly record for corn exports was set nearly 30 years ago, back in November of 1989. The projections for May exports based on export inspections are higher than usual at this time of year, suggesting continued strength in the U.S. corn export market. At least some of the reason may be due to a continuing drought in Argentina, a major corn supplier, which likely means reduced export prospects there. In addition, Brazil is expected to have a poor corn crop this year, due in part to dry weather and less planted acreage for the second cropping season. As a result, countries in the market for corn have fewer options to choose from, which increases the competitiveness of U.S. corn. The Farm Show return after these messages. The University of Illinois has published thresholds for when farmers should spray crops to protect them from the Japanese beetle. Extension entomologist Nick Steider says there needs to be a lot of beetles and a whole lot of damage done before a producer should spend money on a rescue treatment.
Most of the reports that I'm getting, as you would expect and as is typical, are below the treatment thresholds we have, which are 25% after bloom, 35% before bloom, soybean. And the thresholds for silk clipping and corn are, you know, consistent clipping down to half an inch or less pretty regularly throughout the field. A question yesterday about what to do when you have both Japanese beetles and corn rootworm clipping silks in the field, and the answer is the same. It still has to be that clipping down to half an inch or less consistently through the field while pollination is still ongoing.
Again, Illinois Extension entomologist Nick Cedar says farmers have no need to apply a rescue treatment for Japanese beetles until defoliation reaches at least 25% after bloom for soybeans and silk clipping during pollination is down to half an inch or less for corn. The 4-H show began at 8 a.m. today at the Jersey County Fair, and the 4-H livestock auction will be held at 7 p.m. tonight. The open sheep show begins at 8 a.m. tomorrow. Wednesday, starting at 8 a.m., is the open beef show. Thursday evening, come on out for the rodeo starting at 7 p.m. Saturday, the open swine show will begin at 8 a.m., and the open dairy show will begin at 9 a.m. Be sure to come on out to the Jersey County Fair and support your local agriculture. Gillespie FFA will be selling sweet corn this week until Friday in the United Methodist Church parking lot in Gillespie from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Be sure to get some sweet corn before it's too late. This Saturday, the 14th, the Carlinville FFA alumni is hosting a tractor drive departing from the Macoupin County Historical Society grounds. The drive begins at 9 a.m., but it is asked that drivers arrive and register by 8:45 a.m. There is a $5 registration fee, and all money raised will go back to the Carlinville FFA chapter. All tractors are welcome, but must be able to run 8 miles per hour. For more information, give Lynn Heyer a call at 217-825-7154 or call Matt Slidham at 217-710-8339. That's all the time we have on your afternoon farm show. Reporting for WSMI, this has been Jamie Geisler.